You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrash and Kill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toil of Hell radio show. Joined today, of course, by the good and golden boy, the internet sweetheart. You know him, you love him. He's 365 days of horror, or as I like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm not well, man, actually, and neither are you. This is all a charade. It's fucking, it's a smoke and mirrors and such.
See, I'm the type of person who's like, I'm doing fine, even though like I have a limb hanging off and I'm coughing up blood and all sorts of bad things are happening. But really, I should be getting the sympathy of the people and get them to get behind us and cheer for us and rally for us. And even if it's not a good show, they'll be like, you tried so hard. We love you for trying.
Yeah, we're both playing through the pain today. What's your whole shit right now?
So we're sending the pain below, much like suffocating.
Yes.
I'm sick for like the first time in 3 years. I don't get sick very often. And it's really like a 2 to 3 year thing for me where I'm okay for years. And then like I get sick once and I'm out for a week. So that's what I'm dealing with now.
Nice. I had some kind of respiratory infection for a month. So I got a lot of corticosteroids to help knock that out. And thankfully that part's feeling better, but in the process of taking these corticosteroids, side effect is that they lower your immune function and I got fucking shingles.
Yeah, that's the thing that happens when your immune system's lowered. You get the old people disease, although it's happening to a lot of younger people. I got it when I was at middle school. So
you got shingles in middle school?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea. I thought because like I get fucking ads on Tubi all the time because I'm watching Columbo on Tubi. It thinks I'm a man of a certain age that you can get a shingles vaccine if you're 55 or older. And I am not that, unfortunately. So I thought it was just for old people and that, you know, my old ass brain was catching up to me. But yeah, man, the entire right side of my body is erupted into incredibly painful red rash. Everything hurts all the time. I've got severe nerve pain all throughout, and I am pretty fed up with it, to be honest with you.
So this is your dissension into mermaid and manhole territory?
Correct, yes. Oh, my God. I'm just so fucking uncomfortable all the time. Folks out there hopefully won't have to deal with this because sometime after we were kids, they came out with a vaccine for chickenpox. So if you don't get chickenpox, you don't get shingles in the future. Would have been nice. Would have been real nice. Gotta say.
Just reminded me of when certain parents were trying to have like COVID parties for their kids to get it.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. The epicenter of measles outbreak in the first world was just outside of Austin, Texas. I'm sure it's still the case now. These wealthy lib families, like, you know, we don't actually need vaccines because we have YouTube now. So all of these kids, they're getting chickenpox, they're getting measles, they're getting shingles, the whole fucking deal. They're going to get the whole workup.
Just measles, mumps, the plague's coming back. It's like a death metal fest you're not going to.
Oh, yeah. I got an email at work. They're like, hey, by the way, we got humans with bird flu now, so be aware.
Good times.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. No, it's cool. If we get another pandemic or whatever, they'll bring back bonus pay at my job, so it's not all bad, really.
So it's gonna be Pizza Fridays at the hospital.
yeah, something like that. They'll stop giving me shit for wearing a mask all the time. Anyway, we got a lot of things to talk about on this show. You and I, we've been recording a flurry of episodes. Some have yet to come out here. And they're all focused on particular themes, but not this one. This one is a straight current news show to keep you up to date with your finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world of heavy music. With that out of the way, where do you think we ought to start?
Infamous Norwegian black metal record shop burns down.
So would this be the one featured in my favorite black metal piece of media, the Rory Culkin mayhem story?
Yes, I believe it would be. It is. People may not know the actual place, but they'll probably recognize the scribbling of black metal on a stone wall in a basement. That's this place.
Yeah, this is where a bunch of neo-Nazi teenagers went to get drunk, and it's a very important place, and it's a damn shame that we've lost that history.
It's like the burning of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon or
Ah!
the Great Library. It's just so much history gone in the blink of an eye. However, will we recover?
I know, so many 3 out of 10 demos go on like tears in the
Whatever will we do without Euronymous's slutty boots?
rain. Yeah, no, that is one of my favorite long-running memes though. Euronymous with his with his crop top and his Photoshop with a big ass. Love that.
You know, there's some of those accounts that, like, if this gets every 1,000 likes, this gets, I make the Undertaker's hat bigger. They should have done one of those for him, just like in every 1,000 likes, they make his thighs a little bit juicier.
What is the surgery? Oh yeah, old Uranum is coming through with the BBL.
The Brazilian butt lift surgery.
Yeah, love that shit.
It's like two hams stuffed down his dungarees.
But yeah, it's very much on par with the burning of like you said, the Library of Alexandria, the loss of the Notre Dame chapel or whatever. I'm sure that we're going to get a bunch of absolute rubes to donate their hard-earned kroner to help revitalize this historic monument or whatever the fuck, right?
I mean, that is not a bold prediction. That is exactly what's happening. So, this is on the PRP. Nisiblad Records, I don't care if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, an influential record shop in the early Norwegian black metal scene, has burned down. It originally opened in Oslo, Norway, in the spring of 1991 by Mayhem's Euronymous as Helvete. The store and its basement would become a meeting hub for musicians and fans of the now infamous scene, with Euronymous also running his label Deathlike Science Productions out of the location. Euronymous would ultimately shutter the store back in 1993 amid alleged bad business decisions and increasing police and religious uproar about the store and its denizens. Several individuals who frequented the establishment, including Varg Vikernes of Burzum, had begun drawing a high profile due to their involvement and convictions in a series of black metal motivated church burnings. So there's some irony here in this place burning down. God had a lot to do, but he's finally getting around. That took place in 1992 onwards. Vikernes would ultimately go to murder Euronymous, blah, blah, blah. The original location of Helvete was purchased in 2013 and reopened as Nesseblad Records, serving as a living black metal museum of sorts alongside a functional record store. Key among its tourist attraction and qualities was the infamous black metal graffiti found in the basement. According to VG, the extent of the damage is still being assessed, as is the cause of the blaze. This GoFundMe has been launched to help get owners Kenneth Nesblad and his wife Greta back on their feet. And they're asking for 20,000 British pounds, which that's kind of interesting, not. Anyway, they're asking for 20,000. It's up to, as of this recording, 18,586.
Well, a lot of
So,
idiots with money, I guess.
a lot of idiots with money who are donating to this with their real names. And of course, it's exactly as what you would expect black metal people to say in the comments. This cannot break our blackened soul. Rise, Helvetia, again. From the middle of Transylvania, black metal spirit is forever. Rise like a phoenix from the ashes. I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. People are spending their hard-earned money to help a black metal record store that makes a zero profit.
This is so fucking embarrassing. It's like a bunch of perverts donating to restore the porno theater that Travis Bickle went to in Taxi Driver.
It's a part of our history as perverts. Everyone shows up in trench coats and sunglasses.
This will not break our wanker's soul. Yeah, this is embarrassing, but I guess to be expected. But like, you're donating to a 10-year-old tourist trap. like you're a little museum for tourists to come into and be like, ooh, that's where a bunch of teens used to make black metal fucking 30 years ago. So it's just further and further like removed from where it initially was in the first place. It's an abstraction of an abstraction. Like you're donating to the world's largest ball of twine, but like a recreation of it because the original ball of twine like blew away years ago. It sucks. It's embarrassing. If you give your money to this, you are a sucker.
It reminds me a little bit of episode of The Simpsons where they go to a Planet Hollywood and Lisa's like, "It's the Kane from Citizen Kane." Wait a minute, there's no Kane from Citizen Kane. It's like going like, "Wow, there's the de mysterious Dom Sathanis." Wait a minute, that's not a real thing.
But like that's essentially what this is. This is like it's not that far removed from Planet Hollywood. It's just much shittier, and you can't even get fucking fried cheese sticks there.
Everyone's a lot uglier and smellier.
So I don't know. What do you think? They're gonna come back stronger and better than ever.
Maybe they should invest in getting some, fire insurance or something like
Ah.
that for the building.
I don't know. I'm calling on the government of Norway to step in and make this a fucking Panera. Let's get this over with once and for all.
A Starbucks with the Dunkin' Donuts inside it.
Yeah, there we go.
Like I know there's people who get really excited to see like the original mixing board for like the Beatles White Album, but why?
I mean, yeah, these people are perverts. It's
Is it a fetish thing? Is it like Reddit sub channels where good-looking people make squishy sounds with food?
I had a boss who was really into the Foo Fighters, and apparently there's a HBO show hosted by Dave Grohl, and they spent, from what he described here, several episodes going over this mixing console that Dave Grohl, like, for some reason lusted after. And he's telling me about this. I'm like, that sounds dumb as fuck. This is the most boring thing in the world, dude. Like, you could watch fucking Crank 2 right now instead of that.
There's a World of Columbo episode you could be watching.
For real. But for real though, have you ever seen acclaimed 2013 horror drama television series Hannibal? That one's pretty fucking good too. Watch that instead. Fucking eating people and things. It's great.
Mean, I know there's black metal record stores around the world. They can't do all that well, like as a brick and mortar place, unless
No.
they're in a major city and people are going there anyway. It's like, well, I'm in, Leipzig. Let me go to what are the metal places here? And someone will tell them, "Oh, go to this store," and you'll go. But like, other than online and catalog purchases, it's got to be a rough go. So, I guess you hustle any way you can, and you show off. Here's the throne from Dark Throne.
I mean, like if these guys aren't selling t-shirts that say like I got stabbed and like lit on fire at Helvet Records in Oslo, like they're really fucking up. Just bumper stickers, keychains, and t-shirts you can sell to all the crusty little black metal freaks that walk through your door. Like, I'm heard that this is where I can sniff Euronymous's seat.
It's like Pete Rose in Las Vegas. Like I think he just lives there.
He does,
Will
yes.
set up a table and a chair in casinos and like just start signing stuff because he desperately needs money because he's a degenerate gambler. You could
Yeah.
easily do that with this place. Just have your random black metal guys just show up and one day only the bassist for whoever is going to be here, and I guess people will go and punish them and pay 20 British pounds for some reason to get a picture with them.
I guess there's worse businesses to be in. You could be like, I don't know, manufacturing methamphetamines or something, but like it's pretty rotten business.
I mean, they might. You got to have a side hustle.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I think that this is pathetic, and we can probably leave it there. And thankfully, black metal, we don't have any more pathetic news from black metal this week, do we?
I mean, any given time, at any moment, right now, something very embarrassing about black metal can happen.
Can I give a brief update here? And I apologize that I don't have more context and I can't go into more detail into this. I just saw it and I wanted to share it with our audience here. There's a screenshot here that I got of the YouTube comments on a video about Blake Judd. You know who Blake Judd was? Is.
The guy from Nakhmisteum.
Yeah. And I'll go on record here that Nakhmisteum Black Metal Addicts 1 and 2 records, really good stuff. I liked those a lot when they came out. And then this guy's life fucking fell apart. basically, Blake Judd's notorious within the black metal scene for taking orders from people for Nakhmisteum Records or Judas Iscariot represses, and then just not delivering them because he had a bad drug problem and was taking that money and instead spending it on drugs. So in a scene filled with people who kind of get their rocks off on being edgy, he is a persona non grata among these people because he violated their greatest ethical clause, which is don't rip me off for my vinyls. I gotta have my sweet vinyls.
I need my recce's.
Reckies. So anyway, in the comments here, I have at Lord V 54151, no sympathy for junkies. To which at Jeff Whitehead 4301 hits replies with an emoji that is a target, like a dart in the middle of a target board, so a bullseye. Do you know who Jeff Whitehead is?
He went to prison, right?
Very briefly,
Yeah,
not
not
nearly,
long enough for
not
sexual
nearly.
assault.
And then thankfully, Decibel Records. Did a very sweet redemptive cover story for him in which he's holding his toddler child who is wearing adorable big headphones to protect his little ears. And we have the dichotomy of this sweet little baby and Jeff, who's looks so scary with his big tattoos, but we know he's a softy at heart and he is surely reformed, right? Like one of the biggest fucking screw jobs I can remember in and thankfully the end of metal journalism. Anyway, our guy here, Blake Judd replies, "Hilarious, Jeff, you're a fucking junkie. Do you want me to start publishing photos? I'd shut the fuck up immediately. I've got a pile of shit you don't want public, including people who heard you make bold admissions after your little event I helped you out with. Tread lightly, hoss." Anyone who thinks this dipshit isn't the same alcoholic slash drug-addled mess I've been, you're sorely mistaken. Shame on you, Jeff. Of all the things you could pipe up about, what a twat. So I respect Blake Judd for being willing to just go ahead and expose all of the tea here for this fucking cocksucker.
You might as well spill it all, get it all out. There's no point in holding any of it back in anymore.
Yeah, you have no reputation to speak of anymore. So yeah, like, it's fucking stun on these hoes. You should do it.
Yes, in complete detail, maybe even record yourself talking about it so we can get sound clips, go into lots of detail, print receipts, do all of the good stuff, because why not?
I mean, fuck. I bought Black Metal Addicts 1 and 2. Yeah, you should come on the show. Tell us about all these freaks. I'd love to hear it.
I'm sure there's stuff that we've never even heard of that would be very enlightening.
So just a small aside there, something I wanted to share within the wild and wacky world of black metal.
These people are still alive and still out there doing their thing, I guess.
And I guess we can finish off this with a trifecta, if that's okay with you.
It's been a while since we've talked fully about black metal ridiculousness, so we might as well go for the hat trick.
Let's do it. Are you familiar with Drowning the Light?
I am not.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of fucking black metal bands. Who can blame you? Drowning the Light got on Facebook, as all of the truest bands do.
The grimmest of the social medias. Just doing the invisible oranges as you keep forgetting your password and have to reset.
And they went on a screed. Now, it's been a while since we've done a dramatic reading. I know that you're playing through the pain right now. Do you mind if I handle the duties on this one?
You can handle it. You got it.
Feel free to interrupt me if there's anything you really need to get in on this. Drowning the Light and Dark Adversary Productions will always be the black flame and will of the adversary. This should be obvious. I have always supported individual thought, creation from the abyss, and the exploration of the shadow of the soul. The communion with our daemons.
That would be Daemons.
I always thought it'd be fun to like go by a fake name of like Damon Mailer. So it's
Damon
like,
Wayans.
I think Damon Mailer is like or Mailer Damon is like the thing that like your email isn't working, so I thought
Right.
Damon Mailer would be a fun fake name for a black metal project. Anyway, so to those trying to claim that both DTL and DAP are quote political, you are nothing short of liars and fools. Political puppets trying to prove what good little pawns you are to those who pull your strings. Modern politics is the antithesis of forging your own path and creating in the abyss. It is no different to religions leading the herd blindly off a cliff. And just remember, those who pull your strings will eventually cut them when you are no longer useful. Sadly, those who are brainwashed by modern political tripe will always put a modern political spin on anything and everything they see, as that is their life's focus, and then invent their own intent behind it, because the cognitive dissonance is quite extreme with these types. I understand we all share this objective world, but can only interpret it through our own subjective lens and individual consciousness. So for those people, these things are very real for them, and their reality is completely separate reality to my own, and I pity the miserable lives they must lead. These people sadly do not understand that subjective lens. Thus, they do not care what intent or purpose anything has. They will listen to black metal and then get upset that explores darkness or dark themes, and then try to attach political motivations to that darkness, which of course makes them look like hypocrites when you see what is acceptable and what is not, what is dangerous and what is not, or what is political to them and what is not, or what if that music scares or upsets you. A hard truth to realize is maybe you have far more problems than the music you fear. Or maybe you are truly the susceptible types. So the black magic imbued in that music is altering your subjective universe and making you live in fear of it, yet slightly off kilter, because a song about horror or darkness to you is a song about towing political lines. Not all spells work. Why do they expect black metal to be politically correct or for it to care about the modern world? Even outside of black metal, the spirit of metal has always been rebellion, but now it is strangely turned into one of conformity. I often question why these people even bother with this art if they don't quite get it or try to put their own spin on it outside of the artist's intent. And the more I have found out about some of these people who spin these lies, the more I understand they have their own dark, jaded past or present to hide. It is always those who spin the largest web of lies who tend to have the most to hide. They try to make all eyes focus on others and fear that those eyes may slowly turn to them and see them for who they truly are. I also understand the human need for conflict, and when spoiled children have no real enemies, they go searching for some, or invent lies about people and then have some enemies. They might as well be playing with invisible friends. I also believe that these people lack the ability to compartmentalize aspects of anything. It is always all or nothing, and ironically enough, everything is black and white with them. If you take interest in something or research or explore something, in their minds, you must be interested in all aspects of that thing. When I have lyrics about the dark mysteries of the ocean, it does not mean I have an interest in current shipping schedules or ocean liners or other. Shut. Okay, I'm done here. I think you get it. Do you get it?
No.
You don't
I
get
mean,
it.
I really don't. Like, this is one of those things where you see someone be like, I know everyone's talking about, or there's rumors about me fucking a cantaloupe and it's not true. It's just like, well, where did this come from? No one's talking about this. And now that you've said it, we need to know more. It's just like, well, where did this come from? Why are you talking about it? What are you trying to say? What is the purpose of all this? And I do not know. I don't have answers to any of those questions.
Like, reminds me of an old joke. Like, I mean, you see this house, I built it with my own hands, but they don't call me Joe the House Builder. I mean, you see this, you know, beautiful garden, I, you know, planted it all myself, but they don't call me Joe the Landscaper. But you fuck one donkey and... anyway, this going back here, Drowning the Light, they've got a really interesting history, you know, if we want to... get into the history that, you know, you might be interested in one time, but people are all getting on your ass about it. We could look at one of their demos from 2007. It's called Defenders of the Aryan Race. It was released on Winter Reich Productions, limited to 88 cassette copies. Three songs here. We have The War That Never Ends, Defenders of the Aryan Race, and Blitzkrieg Over Israel. I don't know. What do you make of the intricacies of the black magic with them?
You're not going to describe what the cover for this cassette looks like?
I'll let you do it.
It is a black and white photo of a tank. One would have to assume some sort of Jagdpanzer, Waffen-SS dealie.
It certainly is a Jag, I'll tell you that.
And I would assume this is Mr. The Light with his little blacky metal face paint doing what appears to be a little Heil Hitler.
Huh. How about that?
But they're not political.
If you try to search Drowning the Light, interestingly enough, Google, the first suggestion is Drowning the Light, Defenders of the Aryan Race.
And this isn't the only picture of this guy doing a Heil Hitler or standing in front of a Totenkopf or, you know, doing all these things you would expect.
They got a lot of releases here. Probably pare this down a little bit. Anyway, if you go to their Metal Archives page, like, you know, how you get lyrical themes, you get darkness, Satanism, vampirism, occultism. All right, that's normal. And then National Socialism. Huh.
As you would assume.
As you would assume. Also, probably most galling to me, the thing I hate the most, this guy's a fucking Australian.
And there's not a shortage of shitty metal Australian guys.
Yeah, I got no patience for these Aussies. None at all. So, fun stuff here, I think. I never got word on what caused this guy to go through this, these paragraphs of rage at people, I guess, mad at him for all the neo-Nazi shit he was doing.
I briefly went to the Facebook page where this was, and of course the comments were filled with the same types of people who would donate their hard-earned money to rebuild a black metal record shop. You know, it's all the black metal is supposed to be dangerous nonsense, and that just like I've had enough of all of you.
Yeah, these black metal types are really bad with their money. Between buying one of these limited edition 88 limited edition cassettes from Drowning the Light. They're also probably donating to rebuild Helvet or trying to buy limited edition Judas Iscariot records from Blake Judd. We should just take their money. Like it's the best thing we can do.
You know what we should do? You know, does it still exist that like black metal MMA pseudo neo-Nazi thing that was around a while ago?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, Jack, think his name was Jack Wagner. Was that his name? Part of the Operation Werewolf deal.
Yeah, that thing.
So those guys have torn each other apart over money.
Well, I was going to say we should do something like that. You know, just a meet in the woods type of thing to be manly men and to, you know, do push-ups and, you know, maybe secretly kiss when no one else is looking.
Yeah, secretly and, kiss.
And just take them out to the woods and strip them naked and rob them.
I like that idea a lot. Because you've been seeing the videos going around of guys signing up for like Alpha Camp or whatever, right?
Yes, that's what made me think of this.
For sure. And I mean, like Operation Werewolf was definitely like on the razor's edge with that. But like they were trying to do too much. Like they had their own camp set up in the woods or whatever, but like you really just need to rent out a Boys and Girls Club for a day.
A YMCA in town, you know, just do laps around the pool.
Essentially. So what I'm trying to say here is their profit margins were all fucked up because they were trying for a certain aesthetic that I don't think actually matters that much. There is
like a lot of MMA things. They were just a t-shirt company at the end of the day.
Correct. Yeah, we'll do a follow-up episode about Operation Werewolf, actually, because that has gone in interesting places in a post-Trump world where everybody is basically rats trying to get off a sinking ship and trying to find a way to maintain their credibility and fuck over the other founding members so that they can keep that stash.
It seems to always happen with these people. Sooner or later, it starts to fall apart and they'll turn on each other as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I have not heard about any of these guys dying from enlarged hearts due to massive steroid use yet, but that is surely coming soon as well.
I mean, a lot of them probably have kidney problems due to going to all meat diet.
Surely, surely. And that's how it typically goes. Once you get, you know, kidney failure, heart failure comes next. So be on the lookout for that. I certainly am. What do you make of all this then? Are we going to save Sweet Lady Black Metal from these outsiders that only see in black and white? For example, somebody maybe they were associated with the tenets of National Socialism. Are you going to paint them all with one color brush? Maybe they also enjoy planting roses.
What color roses?
I mean, you know, we've got a variety. We got a variety of things here. I don't know, man. What do you think? Should we move on from the Sweet Lady Black Metal talk?
Yeah, we could move from stupids and black metal to stupids in like radio butt rock.
Oh God, what do you got in radio butt rock land?
This is someone we don't really ever talk about, like maybe once or twice on the show. I guess because what's the point? Everyone else has made fun of this guy in this band, so it's kind of like it's been done. But Trapped have reared their heads once again. In odd and hilarious fashion. Once again, this is from the PRP. Trapped reportedly suspect virtue signaling is behind their Louder Than Life festival booking change.
I could be. You never know. That damn virtue signal is everywhere nowadays.
Is virtue signaling in the room with you right now?
Might be.
Trapped vocalist / guitarist Chris Taylor Brown reportedly has a theory regarding his band recently being replaced on this year's Louder Than Life festival. Do you want to look that up while I keep reading this?
Yes.
Both his multi-platinum outfit and Des Rocks were replaced by Silent Planet and Unity TX on that bill, per an announcement made by the festival yesterday. The festival organizers didn't indicate any reasoning behind the lineup change, only stating that they were sad to see both of the aforementioned bands go. Numerous feuds with other bands and individuals, along with his numerous polarizing political statements and opinions, made Chris Taylor Brown a lightning rod for controversy on social media over the past few years. Some of his actions and comments have seen him suspended or banned on several platforms, most notably with Twitter dumping him in 2020 over his comments on pedophilia. Upon first being announced for this year's edition of the aforementioned festival in February of this year, Chris Taylor Brown took to Truth Social.
Oh boy.
He's one of the 50 people who post on there.
Yeah, don't you have to like buy a membership to post on Truth Social?
And didn't you have to like give them your license and like important real life information? And we see as the stock continues to plummet over the past 2 weeks, he took to Truth Social to vent on several individuals who had apparently been seeking to organize a campaign to have his ban removed from the bill. Brown addressed these apparent latest campaign against his band in a February 25th post. He says, "So Trap being invited to play Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville in September made some extreme leftist trolls," and trolls is spelled with an apostrophe,
Nice.
"heads explode, laughy cry emoji. How pathetic are these people? I wonder how many of these accounts who run these ops are paid by the US government in some way. All along the media, government propaganda mouthpiece, has
Yes.
tried to, quote, destroy Trapped after 2020, and they have failed miserably. We went from 5 million monthly listeners to over 8 million now, 100 million plus streams a year for 2 years in a row, and about 250 shows since early 2022. Shows have been amazing. Let's hope the people at Louder Than Life stay strong in the face of these lying trolls and their operation."
I see. Well, I'm glad that he's paying close attention to his Spotify streams. If he's getting 8 million, that should probably be roughly about 45 cents. I was looking through because I, that's a lot of shows to play as well. I was looking through upcoming dates he's got. I can go see him here. Well, on the 19th, he's in Paw, Michigan. Do you know where Pawpaw is?
I'll assume Ypsilanti.
Maybe, I guess so. That's probably in the upper section or something like that. But he's coming through May 22nd here in The Colony, Texas, which is a deeply disturbing place here in the DFW, playing at the Lava Cantina. And that is a place I have actually been before. It is a Mexican restaurant.
Any good?
No, actually, it was dog shit. It was really fucking bad. So, that's good. That I know where to find him here. It's a short drive away, I guess, from Dallas.
Yeah, when you see some of these tours from, bands well past their prime and they're doing like 200 dates a year or something like that, actually look at the venues they're playing or, notice what towns they're playing in. They're not playing first or second or even third tier markets. They're playing Pawpaw, Michigan.
Or in Frenchtown, New Jersey, at Artie's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, lots of bars and grills, billiards, venues that just have a stage that are not really a concert place, like the Comedy Shack. Lots of like festivals, but not huge festivals. It's like the Crawdad Fest in deep South places. It's just,
Yeah.
yeah, people will book them, and I mean, people might be there, but they're really grasping at this point to just play anywhere and make any sort of money. It's like, was it a year ago that Crazy Town was playing in like Fort Lauderdale in front of 10 people and then getting into a fight?
I don't know, man. Depending on like what I got going on that day, I might make the trip. I kind of want to just see what a trap show is like because the cover there's got to be what, $10 maybe, if that.
And you're probably going to be one of like 15 people there.
That's what I assume, and I want to see what the crowd is like, if it's entirely like irony seeking dickheads like me, or if like there are legitimate trap fans there to see him. I'm just curious is all.
I feel like irony is not worth it to see a band like them.
Yeah, you say that, but I've devoted my life to it, so where are we now?
We could set up an interview with him if you want.
I want to ask him because since people jumped on his ass in 2020, he's like everybody I follow on Twitter, I think, made, a million jokes at this guy's expense, and he responded to every one of them personally. But my favorite, and it's been stuck in my head ever since, is some guy just going, "Pants down, I'll suck you off. Headstrong, I'll suck off anyone." And that's in my head all the time now. Anyway, I'm looking at the festival here for Louder Than Life. Did we talk about this? Because this is dire.
They all blend together at this point.
They do, I think. So it's broken up into stages by day here. So you have like your headliner, the supporting act, and then opener, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, for example, you can go see on Sunday Korn, Breaking Benjamin, Gojira, Spirit Box, Eagles of Death Metal, Oxymorons, and then Head PE in the lowest font there.
Eagles of Death Metal are still a thing.
They sucked the first time. Go back to disappearing. Judas Priest, Stained, Architects, Poppy, Saliva, Drowning Pool, Taproot.
It's getting dire.
Yeah, real dire there. Let's
Like there's
see.
a quick drop off on this festival.
Ginger, Polaris, Drug Church, which is a band I actually really like. Wynonna Fighter, no idea. Slothrust, Trapped, Royal Len. So maybe they haven't replaced the poster on this yet.
It sounds like it's some sort of real festival. I thought this was going to be like 10 cover bands and then Trapped as headlining.
No, there's a lot of big bands here. Let's see, smaller down here. We got Lorna Shore, Fugitive, Whitechapel, Lit, Holy Fawn, and Gel, which is as much like fucking buzz as I've seen Gel get. It's very funny that Lit is two spots above them.
Lit had legitimate hits on the radio when that was still a thing.
It's no surprise to me.
One of the loudest shows I've ever been to was Lit.
Insane. Sum 41, Marky Ramone plays the Ramones classics. Bob Villain, Brutus, Touche Amore, Orgy, and Teen Montage. And I gotta say, it's actually kind of surprising that Brutus is above Touche Amore here. And then who the fuck is Bob Villain?
That sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the name you give when a police officer asks for it, and you don't want to give your real name.
Here, you might enjoy this one. Evanescence, In This Moment, Clutch, Fozzy, From Ashes to New, Alien Ant Farm, and then Like a Storm.
Well, that's a specific lineup for a certain type of person that would go to the show. So, like, while we may not want to, that at least, I see the appeal.
Tom Morello,
Did you know he
Grands.
went to Harvard?
Grandson. Did you know that he was roommates with fucking Maynard James Keenan?
Did you know that Ash from Sumerian Records accosted him and asked him about things in the middle of the street while holding groceries?
Grandson, Show Me the Body, Set It Off, The Chisel, Power Man 5000, Edema.
He's Powerman 5000 is the best one on there.
I know, right? This is what it's like when worlds collide. So, anyway, fun look at the world outside of the things that we typically talk about here. Lots of it's just a bizarre mix of some things here. I'm gonna keep going here just because I keep seeing combinations that are highly compelling to me. Health, Il Nino.
El Nino's been showing up on these festivals with their name far too big on them.
Juliet and the Licks.
Oh, Juliette Lewis.
That's
She's
her.
still doing her thing, I guess.
Oh, okay. Ho 99099.
Oh, no.
Jairus Johnson. Yeah. Woo!
No. Wub.
All right. And then it doesn't really matter. You guys get how this goes. It's fine.
I guess it's one of those festivals where a lot of these bands play other festivals or they're on tour, and this is just kind of a meeting point for all of them.
Yeah. So this festival is in 165 days as this counter is clocking down in Louisville, Kentucky. I think we ought to go.
Sure, if someone wants to pay for transportation, hotel, tickets, food, set up the interviews, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, please do all those things for us. I'd really appreciate it.
I'll talk to Jairus Johnson.
All right. I know that like recently we talked about the marketing company that also sells canned water, and we concluded that we should stop giving them any attention whatsoever. But I saw something online the other day that, boy, it just really pissed me off a lot, and I feel like I'm compelled to share it with all of you, so that you can also feel a sense of palpable rage. I think that's a public service we can give here. How do you feel about that?
Just when we think we're out, they pull us back in.
Exactly. This comes courtesy of some blue check dickhead on Twitter. This is Hunter Hammonds, CEO at Assembly, a venture capital studio for creator-led businesses like Off Menu, Hey Friends, Viral Cuts, Bite Size, bunch of dumb bullshit that nobody actually needs. You're familiar with, what venture-backed firms are, right?
Yeah, they're all made up money laundering schemes.
Correct. Anybody that describes themselves as, say, an angel investor, you should probably watch your back around these people. They will throw you onto train tracks for fun.
Just as a quick introduction to this guy, there is a video that comes up when you search his name on the Kalem Johnson Show on YouTube titled "How to Productize Yourself and Make 10K to $1 Million per Month." Productize yourself.
So typically when somebody is promising that you can make an absurd amount of money every month, they are trying to fuck you in the ass. This is can be a res somebody trying to get you to sell knives or internet service, doesn't really matter. In any one of these cases, they are selling you a line of bullshit that will only enrich themselves, mostly in the form of a pyramid scheme, to be honest with you.
This is the type of person, if you have a phone conversation with them, don't say yes because they'll record your voice and use it to open accounts in your name.
Yeah. Untrustworthy is about the most generous thing I can say about them. Anyway, old Hunter Hammonds here has a thread that I just got to share with you. He has a picture of a gentleman who is, he's got cool tattoos and he's doing the horns and he's got like his tongue out. He's going like,
Blech.
and he's got George Carlin on his t-shirt.
And I'll stop you right there. George Carlin would have hated you.
Absolutely despise this man and everything he stands for. We know because we have tons of archival footage in which he decries these fucking cocksuckers. Anyway, this is Mike Cesario. He turned Liquid Death into a 1.4 billion brand in a boring industry. Mike sells water in beer cans and hires porn stars for ads. Here's how he used branding to build a 1.4 billion water brand. And then he has the horns emoji to let you know that it's fucking, yeah, it's lit. It's fucking
Yeah.
lit. Now, typically speaking, when we're talking about what Liquid Death sells, it's a boring industry is not exactly what I would describe as consumer packaged goods, which is the industry he's in, which is typically something that everybody's deeply familiar with. And they have to use all kinds of interests and quirks to try to get your attention because it's not a boring fucking industry at all. Dipshit, as opposed to the kind of shit you're doing with Hey Friends, grow on YouTube without even thinking about it. Like, that's a boring industry, you piece of shit.
Yes, we all know famous ads. People, actors have entire careers based on being a character in commercials. Flo from Progressive, she is a real actress. She's been in real shows, but we know who she is because someone in an office advertising suite somewhere came up with it and they've ran with it for over 15 years.
So I read an interview with her actually fairly recently, maybe a few years ago, where she was, kind of bummed out that she has no ability to like do anything outside of those commercials anymore. But at the same time, she's like, a lot of people have acting careers where they don't have any money at all. So it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, you get paid and maybe you could do Broadway stuff.
Yeah. We'll continue here with this incredible thread. Mike lives the Liquid Death brand. He got the face of a random Liquid Death customer tattooed on his arm. The customer chugged a can of Liquid Death water in under 15 seconds for 365 days. Isn't that badass, Jordan? Both those things?
They were mildly hydrated for a year?
Yeah. He only spent $4,500 on their first ad. Within 3 months, Liquid Death had more Facebook followers than Awkwafina, and that ad had more than 3 million views. He did make water cool. Here's how. I mean, like,
can you imagine following Awkwafina on social media?
Kind of a brain dead fucking moron is like, ooh, the worst fucking water. I drink tap water. I prefer it. I have a big fucking jug I carry with me because tap water is fine. Unless you live somewhere where like the water supply is suspect, you should be drinking tap water too. So anyway, whatever.
Why do you need to follow Awkwafina? Is there new advancements in Coca-Cola water?
Yeah, seriously. Mike was a director at Netflix and worked on tons of viral campaigns. Be it marketing for House of Cards or Stranger Things, he knew how to reach the target audience. Any thoughts on that whatsoever?
Maybe you don't want to be bandying about House of Cards, but you know, that's what this guy did and does. He's an advertiser.
Yeah.
And he has had some success, and that's cool, I guess.
Here's one of my favorite pieces of this thread. Punk rock was a big part of his life when he was young. He was so good that he even thought of playing professionally back then.
Okay. Okay.
He was so good at punk rock, he even thought of playing it professionally back then.
Him and every 16-year-old ever who picked up a guitar.
Yeah, I have often thought of playing professionally in a number of tech death bands. Anyway, he got the idea back in Vans Warped Tour 2009. He saw that energy drink companies heavily sponsor rock bands and tours. Bands needed water while performing, and due to sponsor deals, they would actually pour water into an energy drink can. The idea was born.
I can squeeze some money out of these suckers.
That's it. That is it. Like, wow, these guys are thirsty. How can I make money off this? This basic human need, I bet I can squeeze a dollar out of it.
Like, all I'm thinking of is like Mad Max style future where, you know, the world is burning up and water supplies are low. And this guy is running the water fields and, you know, charging people bullets and giving, you know, give me your women so that I can give you a can of cran apple corpse juice.
The idea was simple: to make health and sustainability 50 times more fun.
I love sustainability. Hell yeah.
The idea was simple, and he quotes here, to make health and sustainability 50 times more fun. I will tell you this. If we want to talk about sustainability, the best way to make something sustainable is to drink the water that comes out of your tap instead of importing it across the world in heavy shipping containers from Austria. Now, I am not a sustainability expert, but I think water that is here is generally a little bit easier on your carbon footprint than shipping water, one of the heaviest things on Earth, all the way across the fucking world. What do you think about that? Am I wrong?
But there's bubbles in it that makes it lighter.
No, that's the thing, though. Like, only like their original thing was just straight flat water in a can, right? Mm-hmm. They only have some, they put out a couple of varieties of the sparkling water. Someone brought a case of it to work. I tried it. It was awful. I consider myself a bit of a sparkling water connoisseur. I feel definitively this is dog shit sparkling water. I can't speak to the plain one because, again, I can drink out of the fucking tap.
Again, I don't need water from a can.
After finalizing the name, they went for the tagline, "Murder your thirst." Okay. But Mike did something different. He gauged the interest in advance and made this brand popular with his advertisements even before he had the shipments ready. Once he saw the hype, he just capitalized on it.
Please describe the picture included with this post.
So, do you remember the Adult Swim series, Mr. Pickles?
Vaguely. Well, didn't Municipal Waste do something with it?
I think they did, yeah. It was the guy that was involved with a lot of heavy metal bands at the time. They hired him to do this art. As I recall correctly, the Liquid Death, like, big barbarian monster is just decapitating all these people in it. And, you know, it's got generic heavy metal in the background. I saw it when it first came out. I was like, oh, this is insufferable. Anyway, their success mantra hinges on their ability to make people say WTF with bizarre campaigns like this one. It's a photo of a woman saying, post a photo of your pee for me. Dr. Anna Lepley, PhD, biochemistry, nutrition. I guess if you have more color in your urine, it means that you're more dehydrated. Again, this is a problem that can be solved by drinking any water, not necessarily this.
And again, I think this is a fetish thing.
I mean, that was what he was trying to get across there for sure. Mike didn't care about appealing to everyone. He targeted punk music lovers like himself who value an anti-establishment attitude. Liquid Death embraced this with slogans like Sell Your Soul, Deadly Water, and Murder the Taste. And they've got a picture here of Travis Barker selling his stupid persona with this shit. By using quirky and unconventional marketing, he insanely loyal fans. I'm going to repeat that if you don't mind. By using quirky and unconventional marketing, he insanely loyal fans. There are 300 plus fans who have the brand logo tattooed. Which I've seen tattoos that will make your hair turn white because people will put fucking anything on their skin. So, you know, make of that what you will.
Yeah, CM Punk famously has the Pepsi logo on his arm.
Even their campaign, hashtag Cans for Bands, was a super success. Their marketing team has always been on steroids.
Should we get that pee doctor to test them?
Yeah. Mike used the trash their haters were talking as an opportunity. He took the worst reviews and turned them into the lyrics of a death metal album called Greatest Hates. The album was a hit.
Cite your sources.
Shortly, a second version followed. And I'll offer a follow-up there. They did a third version as well. And if you look at the engagement that these ads are getting online, maybe 1 to 2 likes, no comments, anything like that. They're not moving any of these at all. And of course, SoundScan isn't looking at this shit either. This is a fucking novelty thing that they're putting out themselves. It's more trash that they're putting that's going to end up in a fucking landfill because nobody's fucking buying this.
Yeah, it's just advertisements. Look at the thing we did. Our name is out there again because that's what their business model is, what we talked about on an earlier show, where they worked with ELF Makeup. It was to win the day.
Yeah. Here we go. This is my favorite one. Liquid Death was also one of the early brands to jump on the NFT bandwagon called the NFT Murderhead Death Club.
Great.
Can we get a follow-up on that? I would love to know how that is going.
Can I use my Smegma coin to buy one of these?
The company is basically an entertainment machine. They are always adapting to things that are in the buzz. For example, they released this ad when the show The Boys was the most watched Amazon original show with 10.6 billion minutes viewed. I mean, that's what they're saying. The show has been viewed for 10.6 billion views. That means nothing about the fucking ad itself featuring the characters in it. It's
what a non-metric.
Absolute fucking horseshit. This is, I mean, the trade that these guys deal in. It's just baffling people with bullshit. Mike was smart with the D2C channels. He started selling at bars and tattoo shops in 2019, entered into Whole Foods in 2020, expanded to 200 7-Eleven stores, and soon became the third best-selling carbonated water brand on Amazon. One of their boldest campaigns involved porn stars with like a laughing emoji. I don't know what does that mean?
Porn is funny to these people?
I guess. I mean, do you remember American Apparel and Dov Carney?
I do not.
Oh, American Apparel was a edgy clothing brand I mean, I guess they weren't really edgy. They produced pretty solid basic clothing items that were made in the US and pretty high quality. But all of their marketing was insanely sexualized stuff because the owner was a lecherous fucking creep. He got ousted by the board of directors, and then they sold the company for scraps, leaving him fucking penniless and homeless.
So it had a happy ending.
It did, and I kind of hope that happens to Mike here. When compared to Red Bull, Mike said, "Red Bull is just a marketing play. It's the same product that's been forever, but they built a brand around extreme sports. In a way, Liquid Death is aiming for the same effect." Mike is the master of the counterintuitive approach. He had a vision for a brand with a cult-like following and a non-sexy industry, capitalized on an online audience even before he had invested in mass production. It's one of the best current-day lessons on brand building. What do you think?
So it's a venture capitalist shaking hands with a venture capitalist in these posts.
Yeah, hands is what they're shaking.
Yeah, they're just so thrilled with each other and impressed by the hustle and the go ahead, do it how you want attitude. It's so punk rock. Look at all these advertising things we do, and we are a success. Cool.
Can I read a comment that I really liked?
Yes, there's a lot of comments on this, and from a fair amount of blue check marks.
Here's a guy, Ted DeInnocentis, who is a CEO co-founder of a thing, which, automatically this guy's my enemy, but he does make some sense here. I wanted to read this. Tastes like toilet water, air freighted from Austria, and bleeding cash with no path to profitability. Not hard to grow a business when you spend more on marketing alone than you sell. You can't even cap it and save it for later. Forced to drink 16 ounces of water or waste it. Thumbs down emoji. I agree with all of these things that he just said, by the way. Liquid Death themselves, they have replied to exactly one comment in this thread. It's this one here. "Hi, Ted. We will fly you to LA and film you doing blind water taste tests. If you can pick out Liquid Death as the worst toilet water among other premium water brands, we will give you $2,500. But if you guess wrong, we get to tase you." So again, they're trying to use this man making valid complaints as a way to get more hype, which somebody else points out, "Hey man, that's $2,500 coming straight from the most recent financing raise, another charge against the cash flow. You might as well, since it won't be positive anyways. I hope your investors are proud of this fucking cash waste." Anyway, I'll let you go on from there. I am just I cannot stand this Reddit ass water.
Inevitably, someone will say, "Well, I actually kind of like the iced tea or whatever." And like, if you want to like it, go ahead. But like, don't buy into this. Don't buy into this venture-backed canned water company that just does a lot of advertising and uses the thing you like to try to appeal to you. Your very niche thing that is oftentimes very personal to you. And I mean, is this any different than like there's the KFC commercial that's been floating around for a couple of decades of a black metal guy eating a spicy chicken sandwich and be like,
Oh yeah.
"Ooh, that's really hot." Same thing.
So this is great. I think that you should go through this thread yourself so you can see the horde of blue checks who seem to love that. The blue checks are big fans of this whole thing, and everybody that doesn't is like, "You are a fucking piece of shit scumbag. I hope you fucking die."
The marketplace of ideas.
Yeah. Anyway. I appreciated this. It really is kind of like a quick breakdown of somebody who has a totally fucking broken brain looking at something wrong and saying, "This is great." And sometimes you need that. You need the dichotomy to understand why you're actually hating. Because I know I hate, but I needed this to clarify what it was exactly that was making me hate.
It's good when it's laid out like that by a third party.
Exactly. This recession cannot come soon enough because it is going to take out every one of these deeply over-leveraged piece of shit nothing companies and turn them into fucking red mist. I cannot wait for it. All right. Well, anything else you want to get on this episode?
No, I think it's a good place to end it.
Folks, if you like this show, you can get more of it. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/toilet of hell. Anything else?
If you want, you could email us toiletofhell@gmail.com, toiletofhellradio@gmail.com. Tell a friend about this show, let them know, share it on social media, give us 5 stars or whatever it is on your various listening things. The more people that listen to the show, the better it is and helps us out a lot. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, and that's about it.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.